Our reading for tonight comes from the prophet Micah. And it's just a short reading. It's only three verses, but I think it's such a powerful reminder for us that can anchor us in our lives of faith. So this says, "With what should I approach the Lord and bow down before God on high? Should I come before him with entirely burned offerings, with year-old calves, with these things of tradition? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with many torrents of oil? Should I give my oldest child for my crime, the fruit of my body for the sin of my spirit? He has told you, human one, what is good and what the Lord requires from you, to do justice, to embrace faithful love, and to walk humbly with your God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm so glad that we get to worship together tonight, that we get to dive into a little bit of a part of the Bible that we might not usually get to crack open together very often. So I have a question as we start out. Can anyone tell me the name of the first book of the Bible? Anybody know? You can raise your hand. First book of the Bible. Anybody? Yeah. Genesis. Yeah. Absolutely. Genesis, the first book of the Bible that kind of tells the story of God and God's people. Anyone know the second book of the Bible off the top of your head? Anybody? Exodus. Yeah. What about the 33rd book? Anyone know the 33rd book of the Bible off the top of your head? Yeah. Ooh, it's a good guess, right? Odds are his name's probably going to be John at some point in here. But it's not quite right. It gets tricky, right? Like, we get into the prophets, all of a sudden there's all these names. If you can read some context clues, our prophet Micah is the 33rd book of the Bible. I know, you were so close. That was the second guess after John. It was a worthwhile guess, yeah. Right? So we get into it later on in the Old Testament. We start out with Genesis and Exodus and the story of God and God's people being freed from slavery in Egypt, and then we hear of them settling in the Promised Land. And then, if you know, toward the end of the Old Testament, toward the end of the Hebrew Bible, we get all these names of people. All the books start to be names of people. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Amos, Esther, right? A lot of these different names. And these were all prophets. These were people who were trying to call God's people back to following God. The prophets were sent because God had seen that his people were falling away, were not following God, were not loving their neighbor, were not doing the things that God called them. And so God sent prophets to help call them back to this way of life. So tonight we're talking about the 33rd book of the Bible, one of the prophets, Micah. Now Micah is called one of what's called the minor prophets, and that's just because his book is shorter, right? They're called major and minor prophets, basically based on how long their books are, which makes sense, I suppose. So Micah lived in this really small town called Moresheth in the southern kingdom of Israel. I think we have a map up here, don't we? Yep, so we can see that Mereshah, right in the middle of that, right above Lachish in Judah. Now, there we go. Let's get that laser pointer out. Put it to some good use. Maybe. There we go, right in there, the Mereshah. Yeah, so that is where Micah is living. That's where he's from. It's this small town in the middle of Israel, but you can see, or in the middle of Judah, rather, but you can see it's surrounded by a whole bunch of other small towns, right? Lachish, Achzib, if you ever want to, don't worry, there's not going to be a test on these names later, right? But one of these things that we continue to see is that these towns get kind of name-dropped throughout the first part of Micah, and what he's doing, he's kind of calling out some of the local people, calling out the local leaders, right? It'd be like somebody from Purim, right? Who wants to be a prophet in Purim? Who wants to be my prophet for tonight? You don't have to do anything other than just sit there. Liliana, I got you. All right, so Prophet Liliana, she wants to tell God's people to change their ways, to follow God, to love God, to do that. So do you think she it would do much good if she wrote to the church in, oh, I don't know, Paris, or the church in New York City, or the church in Washington, D.C.? I mean, maybe, right? Maybe. What if she wrote to, like, the church in Detroit Lakes? Yeah, right? Kind of calling out some of those local leaders, right? Yeah, might stir something up a little bit. Might, you know, become the talk of the town of sorts, right? Yeah. So what Micah was trying to do is he was kind of trying to stir things up in those towns right around him as a way of kind of getting people's attention and helping them understand that they had fallen away from how God had called them to live and wanted to call them to something new. So like all prophets who had gone before him, Micah speaks on God's behalf to the people of Israel. Now, if we want to put a time around this, it was about 730 BC. So there's a lot of prophets writing around this time. It's a good time to write if you're a prophet, which is not great because it means a lot of people are not doing what God has called them to do, right? So most of the book of Micah, again, it's a short book. It's only about seven or eight chapters. And so most of the book is spent kind of scolding God's people, being like, you guys just mess up again and again. What's going on, guys? Why can't you get it together? It's my paraphrase of what Micah says, right? He says, I am filled with strength with the Spirit of God and with justice and power to declare how Israel has rebelled, how Israel has gone against what God has called them to do. And so one of the things that we hear, and this is what a lot of the prophets, a lot of the people of God's people do, is they'll have that kind of, come on, guys, let's get it together. What are we doing? God called us to something different than this. And then they'll give a sign of hope. They'll give a sign of promise. And Micah does that too. And so one of the things that we hear continually throughout Micah is this sort of pattern of, we got to get it together, guys. I think we can do it, right? God has called us to something different. We can do this, right? So it's this idea that God's judgment can be a source of hope because it means that God continues to love us, that God continues to want to be in relationship with us, that God continues to call us to be his people, to love us, and to save us. And so Micah is basically divided up into three parts. So you have the first four chapters of God seeing that God's people have been treating people unjustly. They haven't been treating people right. They've been maybe a little greedy. They've been trying to maybe get a little more money than they should have for themselves and are mistreating people who are vulnerable. So then the next section in chapters 4 and 5, and stop me if this sounds familiar, talk about the promise of a Messiah who's going to come, who will be born in Bethlehem. Starting to sound familiar? Maybe a little bit, right? Who will come to bring hope. Who will come to bring hope that even though things might be kind of not great around, that God does not give up on us, and that God will come to bring us hope. And chapters 6 and 7 at the end talk about the hope of God's mercy and the hope of God's redemption. Kind of a how do we move forward after this Messiah comes. And so one of the things that we will see, if you ever read the prophet Micah, I don't really recommend it because it's kind of boring in some ways, in that it's just God saying, get it together, you guys. Come on. But there's this great part in chapter 6, which is the part that we read, where Micah is talking about, like, what at the core, what does God ask of us? right? Which we may think sometimes too. Like, what does God want from us? What does God want us to do? And Micah starts listing out all of these kind of practices that religious people would have of the day. They would bring offerings, right? They would bring offerings to God. And so Micah is naming off all of these offerings that they would bring. He says, with what should I approach the Lord? With what should I bring to God? Right? Should I bring before him entirely burnt offerings, which is something they would do at almost every worship service? Right? Sometimes they would sacrifice animals as a sacrifice to God. He says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Right? He's kind of trying to make a little bit of a point here. Right? Trying to be sort of purposefully a little imaginative. And then he says, no. No, God doesn't need all those things. Instead, he says, he's told you what is good. And he has told you what the Lord requires of you is to do justice, to embrace faithful love, or to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. What's that look like? Right? To do justice means if you see things that are wrong, if you see things that aren't how they should be, if you see people being mistreated, then to do justice means to go in and do what you can to stop people from being mistreated, right? To make things right. Doing justice, acting justly, means doing what you can to help people be treated well, right? To love kindness, likewise, right? To love kindness or to love mercy, right? To sort of embrace that way of life that seeks to forgive and that holds forgiveness not only for others but for ourselves too. And to walk humbly with God. Right? These are the things that Micah wants to keep reminding the people. And I love that it gets included in our scriptures because then it can remind us too. Right? So times where we might be feeling kind of overwhelmed, or we might be feeling like, man, there just seems like there's too much. What God, what do you want me to do? In some ways, it can be kind of a reminder that we don't have to overcomplicate things. Thank God, right? That we don't have to overcomplicate things. But we can look around us and we can see things that maybe aren't as they should be. Or if we look around and we see people being mistreated, we can do what we can to make things right. We can love mercy. We can love kindness. We can show kindness and we can lift people up if they have been knocked down. Right? And we can walk humbly with God. Israel had not been doing any of this. And that's why they've been falling on hard times. And I think when we see this kind of list of things to do, we can often see the ways that we fall short, or we can think of the times where we haven't really done that. Right? And I think when we get into that, we can see kind of two things. If we see things that aren't as they should be, we can think, one, it's just going to keep happening, so why would I waste my time trying to stop it? Right? Have any of you ever felt that way? If you see something wrong happening, you're like, I don't know, I don't know if nothing I do is going to help, so I just better not, right? Or a second thing you might think is, even if it wasn't a waste of time, I'm not strong enough to do anything about it anyways. What could I do? Right? I think these are things we think about when we see things that aren't as they should be. But Micah reminds us that we can stand up for people who are being mistreated, and we can make a difference in that way when our actions are rooted in God's love. Right? Because ultimately, that's what Micah talks about, is Micah talks about being rooted in God's love. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, or to make sure that we're doing what is right? To love mercy, or to love kindness, to help those who have fallen down, and remember times that we've been knocked down and others have helped us too, and to walk humbly with our God. Because when we're rooted in faith like that, we do our best to live this out, to do what is right, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God, knowing that it's God who created us and who calls us and continues to lead us as we walk together. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.